guys are ridiculous. These guys are ridiculous. Now, how about them damn Celtics?
And we are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics. Sam and I are here recording on Friday, May 26th, although technically Thursday, the 25th. We're recording the night of Game 5.
We haven't slept.
It is 2:06 a.m. as I'm sitting down to record this. I had to come back from the garden, so Sam waited up because we didn't have time because it's an 8:30 start. Really, you know, just disrespectful.
Yeah, you know what's NBA. Really good is when they start late for two East Coast teams.
Yeah, really genius move by the NBA there. Really considerate of our time. I take it personally. But I was telling Sam right before we started, we did the same thing after game one. At least the Celtics didn't lose this time because we would be significantly more upset. Obviously, we're mad. You know, we're not the happiest bunch when the Celtics lose. But, like, staying up to 2 a.m. and having to linger in the self-pity of a loss.
It's terrible.
Very happy that the Celtics pulled out a win in this one. And a pretty convincing one, might I add. Another pretty dominant victory for the Celtics. Was it wire-to-wire?
Wire-to-wire.
Wire-to-wire win. Great win. Great win.
Yeah, great win. If the Celtics win, this is how it goes, usually. It's a blowout. It's not close. Once that game gets close, then the sweat starts to trickle down my forehead because you can't trust these guys in a close game. At least not yet. We don't know yet. Feels like they're going to be due for one in game six, but sticking with today, really good showing. Impressive from the jump. They had good effort. They tried, which is really all you can ask. But they did make threes as well. They made what? 41% of them. Pretty good.
A lot. Good
threes. 50.6 from the field. They were engaged the whole time. It was awesome. Marcus Smart dives on the floor for the first play of the game. Ever since that, the rest of the team kind of follows suit. I really thought Tatum was great in this game, especially early on.
Yes.
He was important for setting the tone. Just quick hitters. Jaylen Brown back, not injured anymore, maybe. 3 of 5 from three, 50% from the field, only turned it over once. Awesome Jaylen Brown game. All five starters hit double figures. They had four guys with 20. Oh, I lied. Horford only had 6. The plus minus gets close me on enough. This NBA.com.
I do that too.
Same yeah. Thing. Why would they have it like that? That sucks.
Agreed.
Rest of the guys, not a lot off the bench. We'll talk about Brogdon. What the hell are they going to do with this guy? But very impressive from these guys. It was great to see the shots go down. Horford still didn't make a three. He had one where his foot was on the line. But they were getting good shots in the flow of the offense. They didn't look lost against the zone. There was a brief stint where they struggled against it, but it was only because the open shots weren't going down. It wasn't because they were turning the ball over. Celtics, yes. Just 9 turnovers tonight. Big difference maker. Miami turned it over quite a bit. They had 16 of them. Big difference. That's the difference between going home and going to Miami. Pretty happy they're going to Miami.
Head into South Beach. I've heard some things on Twitter. This is random. That Miami people don't like when you call it South Beach.
They don't?
I guess. I think that's just because technically it's just a neighborhood in Miami. But they're going to South Beach. You know what I'm saying? They're going to Miami. Celtics headed back.
Blame LeBron for that. I'm all true. For it. Blame him.
There you go. But like you said, very well-rounded all-around game for the Celtics. Jason Tatum, phenomenal. 11 assists in this one. 2 rebounds shy of a triple-double. Jaylen Brown also good. Making some solid passes for JB. He took a few what seemed to be 4 shots early in the game, and then he turned it right around, and he had a phenomenal game. 21 points, efficient shooting, 3 steals, like you said, only 1 turnover, and that's huge for JB. Al Horford, I thought, played a great game. Obviously, like you said, he didn't score a lot. 3 of 7 from the field, 0 of 3 from deep for 6 points. He had Bam Adebayo in a torture chamber. Bam Adebayo looked lost in this game. What do you call him, Sam? Hit it.
I don't want to say it.
No?
they're still losing in the series. I'm not going to say it.
We won't jinx it, but the point is Al Horford played phenomenal defense on Bam Adebayo, and then you had the two-headed guard tandem in the starting lineup of Marcus Smart and Derek White. 24 for D. White, 23 for Marcus Smart, 6 of 8 from 3 for Derek. 4 of 6 from three for Marcus. I mean, those two were the head of the snake tonight for the Celtics. It wasn't the exact same because in the game I'm referencing, they made all their threes at the end. This had a very Warriors game one feel where it's just like the role players are just killing you from three and the other team couldn't do anything. And that's what happened for the Celtics. Big Derek White game, big Marcus Smart game. And that was the difference maker in this one. Those two guys hit their shots and that's what mattered. And not all the threes were easy too. Derek White made a ridiculous like turnaround step back three. Like they were just hot. And I tweeted out like this team is scary when they're hot. And unfortunately when they're not scary at all, but they were hot.
Scary
in game
five. A different
way. Yeah. They were hot.
They're
game
scary
five,
for
though,
the
so.
Fans, not for the other team.
Give a ton of credit to Derek White. In particular, Marcus Smart, obviously amazing too, but like this is the game you needed from D White for a while now.
Yeah. It felt like Derek White made every big shot. There were times where Miami was starting to climb back into this game. Even if it was like they were down 18, they would string together a couple baskets. You're like, okay, like Celtics. There were times where their offense looked good, but there were also times where it was real stale. And White made a couple bailout threes, which were huge in this game. If you're going to have a controlled win like you did today, one, shout out to us because pregame we were like, we sure would love game two or game seven against Philly to show up today.
We did say
you
this.
Got something like that. So I was very pleased with that. No
doubt. I would say, not to cut you off, I would say this is more impressive than a game five, game or game whatever it was versus Philly. Because in game two and game seven against Philly, it feel like they got up 30 and they just coasted. In this one, like Miami made a few like, okay, we're showing up again. Like we'll make a few shots. You know what I'm saying? And like it got down to maybe 13, 11 points. And then they just got it back up to 20. Right, like every time the Celtics felt like it was slipping away, they were right back in it. And you know what that was? Mazzulla was so quick with the timeouts in game five.
Mazzulla like, has turned a corner.
You know, it
felt
AKA like,
his players are trying.
Yeah, it felt like all the jokes of Mazzulla, you can't save the timeouts for later in the season. It feels like he mentally thought he was saving all his timeouts in the regular season. And now in this one, he's like, oh, I can use all my timeouts now. Right. Like anytime the Celtics messed up, anytime, you know, Miami made a big bucket, it was just timeout. And it stopped Miami's runs, which is what timeouts are supposed to do. So credit Mazzulla. He again, coached another phenomenal game.
The funny thing about the Mazzulla timeouts is it's almost like he's on the same wavelength as these players, where when they're playing games that aren't as important, it's funny. Games 1, 2, and 3, Mazzulla doesn't seem to be taking it as seriously. Neither did the guys, where he's not putting the clamps down on the timeouts. He's really letting it be more of a free-flowing thing. Will the Celtics figure it out on their own? Do they need to be disciplined? He is not taking any chances in these elimination games. Really, the Celtics could be up, could have won the series already if they just executed. We're back to that. But seriously, he's tightened the leash with the timeouts. He's not taking any chances in these elimination games. And I know you didn't see it, Jack, but on TNT today, they just let you know 4-0 in elimination games now, the Celtics.
Well, there you go. they don't want to go out
yet.
I will say, I think there's something to use the word like playing loose. I feel like for a while there, it felt like Mazzulla was coaching loosely and the Celtics were playing too uptight. And that's like the opposite of what it should be in a sense. Like when I say playing loose for the Celtics, I don't mean like not trying. I mean, it felt like in games 1 and 2, maybe not 3, but game 3 is the anomaly. They just sucked. In games 1 and 2, it almost felt like they were trying too hard, like bringing back what they kind of talked about against Philly. Like they were too rigid. They were forcing stuff up. They weren't exactly playing in the flow of everything. And then meanwhile, Joe Mazzulla is like, you know, fight through it, playing loose, blah, blah, blah. And now games 4 and 5, the script has kind of flipped where it's the Celtics are playing looser. Obviously, like I said, that doesn't mean like no effort. They're playing with great effort, but they're playing more free flowing. They're like, you know, they're running around on defense, they're making the right passes, they're doing everything that they know they can do to be a successful team. And then when they stop doing that, Joe Mazzulla is being really rigid with his timeouts. And I feel like that's the recipe for success for this Celtics team. And it's just taken them like they said, they like to make things a little too hard on themselves. Jason Tatum actually talked about that post game, and I don't know if you saw this quote, but I thought of you when he said it. He was asked, somebody asked him, like, why do you think the Celtics thrive in chaos? Effectively, like, why do y'all make it so hard for yourself? And he said, I wish I knew the answer. For some odd reason, even last year, we always seem to make it a little bit tougher on ourselves. What I do know is you can see the true character of a person of a team when things aren't going well. And like, he was asked a similar question like multiple times. What?
Well, that's not a good thing. Because when things aren't going well for this team, they really don't go well. I know that's not what he was saying. He's saying like, yeah we're like really battling back from adversity. But yeah, for three straight games, things weren't going well. People were saying blow up the team. Jaylen Brown gave you a no comment after Grant Williams and Jimmy Butler got into it in game two.
Did you hear what he said about Grant after game four?
No.
He was like something along the lines of like, yeah, Grant Williams, you know, when he plays under control and plays his role, he's good. It's just like, whoa.
I don't know if they actually don't like Grant or they're just busting his balls. I think they're just busting his balls, but I thought the no comment thing was really weird.
Well, did you see the clip of him after the game today?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Phenomenal. Amazing. They love it. Grant Williams. Jaylen Brown and a Celtics assistant just smacked his ass on the way by. Like, good game. And he was just like, ah!
Yeah.
I got him. But Jason Tatum said it after the game, too. Whether it's ignorant belief or whatever, we do believe. And so, like, you said after game four, if they win two games, I'm back in, correct?
I'm back in. Yeah, I am.
You're back in? Oh, man.
Yep, it's terrible. Now I'm going to be really mad if they lose game six. So if you are a visiting fan watching this, just get ready. It's going to be a meltdown.
I stand by what I said. I'm not back invested. I'm intrigued right now. They've piqued my interest. But I'm not going to get invested again emotionally. Or like just in general until they force a game seven, if they force a game seven. Jaylen Brown after the game saying like he said something along the lines of like these next two games are big. And so like I emoji.
Must win. Emoji. Some would say they're must win games.
The point is he said next two games. So like eyes emoji. Like it just you know what I'm saying? Like they're winning, basically, is what he's saying. Jimmy Butler saying the same thing though. He says we're gonna win. We know we're gonna win the series. But
well, he did not say that they're gonna have beers today.
Is that what he said after game four?
Yeah, he was like, we're gonna have beers, listen to music, like relax, which is in all honesty the best way to probably handle it, as much as it is kind of fun to yeah. poke fun at if they lose. Like I mean, we say all the time, like these guys just you can't just dwell on it. You have to come back, you have to adjust, but you can't just get in your head. You have to forget it and move on.
Agreed.
And the Celtics team seems to do that quite a bit. I know that was a Missoula thing early in the season with the sandcastle analogy, where they make a new one every game or whatever.
Yep.
When they watch film. Oh man, yeah, I'm back in. I was impressed in game four. Just the way they won game four was interesting because they did have to battle back in that game. They were down 9 in the second half. Since then, mm-hmm. it's what +39. I think I saw somebody tweet the stat today.
Yeah,
that's a pretty impressive swing. This is some impressive basketball we've seen from the Celtics. They might have figured something out. It doesn't seem like that zone's giving them as much trouble. And that is, some would say, a miracle because it's taken them forever just to do what 8-year-olds can do and crack a zone.
Yeah. I asked them. You this after last game. I know you said you're back in, but like vibe check. How are we feeling?
I'm back to where it's like, I'm still frustrated because I'm like, wow, imagine if they like tried in the first two games, this would be over.
Yes.
Same time, I'm proud that they didn't just roll over. But proud that they didn't just roll over is not
that's not a great way to
we should
season.
Yeah, we shouldn't be like giving them a medal. Like there's still work to be done. You've did what you're supposed to do in these two games. You won a game at home, good for you. Now you have to go back down to Miami. You have to play against Miami. They're going to be pissed off. I would put my house that Hero's going to play in one of these last two games, by the way.
Really?
He broke his hand. He didn't break his leg. Like, Hero has had a broken hand for 6 weeks or 5 weeks. And it's about the timetable for him to return, by the way.
It's a shooting hand, though, right?
Isn't it? Is a shooting hand, which, fairness, you know, that is an impact appendage. But
that was a great way to put it, I guess.
But seriously, like, let's not pretend this guy can't be in shape already. If I broke my hand and I'm watching Miami steamroll Milwaukee, and then they have the Knicks, who you know they're going to beat, I'm hitting the treadmill, I'm running, I'm doing anything I can to condition myself. I'm not sure how much impact you're allowed to absorb with a broken hand. Like running, even if, like, you know, you're moving your arms and stuff, could screw with your bone structure. So I don't know everything. I'm not a doctor. I sit here and talk about basketball. Dumbest of the dumb. But as somebody that has dealt with a knee injury, not a serious one, but annoying enough and nagging enough, it's frustrating. You lose that stamina because you can't run. I had to get back. I had to start building up, and I'm kind of back now. But if I broke my hand, I wouldn't stop that. If I could run, I would go. So I can't imagine he's going to be out of shape. I don't think his ramp up is going to be very long. Maybe I really think he's going to play in this next game. I think Vincent's back for sure. As well.
I was going to ask you that next. Yeah.
He's back too. But I'm shocked if Hero does not appear in this series, especially if it goes the distance.
Yeah. I forget who asked me. I think it was,
especially with Lowry, like, not making an impact,
being bad.
I'm being today. 30 minutes, 2 of 5 for Lowry, 5 points, 4 turnovers.
Yeah, he was terrible. He's getting cooked on defense too. I think it was Liam who texted me asking, or maybe Danny, one of them, asking, Liam asked me, is Gabe Vincent a one game injury? And I responded, I'm like,
yes,
there's no way he's not
Pope playing Catholic
in game 6. Yeah. I will say though, that was a rough ankle sprain. Like he snapped that ankle.
Well, can't be
anything on it, but it would shock me if he does not play in game 6. I am hesitant to go with you on Hero. It wouldn't surprise me if he plays in a game 7 if it's there. I don't think he'll play in game 6. Maybe I'm
But then, like, I'm not sure if I'm Spoelstra or the Heat, I'm going to throw him out there for a game 7 if he hasn't played. How much sense does that make? They did it last year, and he didn't make an impact at all.
What do you mean they did it last year?
Like, he literally sat out parts of the Celtics series, and they trotted him out there for game 7, and he gave nothing.
I forgot about that. Well, you don't think that would be the same for game 6 then?
Yeah, but if you do it for game 6, maybe that's your get your sea legs, brother, and then you come out for game 7.
I guess.
And again, last year he was dealing with some leg injury. I believe he hurt his ankle. Now it's his hand. And he was shooting before the game. Like, he's already doing all that stuff. I don't know what more he has to do.
Yeah. I know
it's not
his
knee. It is a shooting hand. It is important. But
speaking of injuries, Malcolm Brogdon.
Yes.
Did not return to the game. He played, did not make an impact, shot over 2 from 3. Just generally wasn't very good. And obviously it's because he's injured. What did he have?
Or 8 minutes, 0 points, 0 of 2.
Yeah. He's playing with a partially torn tendon in his right arm. Jared Weiss reported.
Maybe.
Of the Athletic.
Just maybe. He shouldn't play with that injury.
Hey, there we go. I would tend to agree with you.
I wonder if he doesn't play in the first however many games, how much difference that makes, because he's been terrible.
He's been
because
really
of that, of course.
I wonder,
like, are you playing through a torn forearm on your shooting arm?
I wonder. This has been the debate. Do you go with Pritchard or Hauser in the rotational spot?
Maybe just go with 7. I mean, I don't really know if you need Brogdon. He's like a luxury. You have White and Smart. Those guys can just split minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you run, like, I mean, they played Pritchard 4 minutes today. Hauser 3 minutes. Most, like, that was garbage time, though. Like, I think you can get away with, like, you know, 6 for Hauser, 7 for Pritchard. You know what I'm saying? Like, very minimally, just to give guys a rest. Like, you throw them in
maybe
there
for
a shooting.
Trot them out there and heat check them. Like, see if they have anything for you that day.
I agree. But that's Malcolm Brogdon. Brogdon should not be playing.
He should not. He's not capable of giving them anything offensively. He hasn't been great on defense this series. There's no reason to put him out there. And not only that, but, like, it's kind of not fair to put him out there to him. I mean, I'm sure he wants to play, but you're not going to be able to contribute to the team. And there's a risk you become a scapegoat. You don't want that, especially in your first year with the team. I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't know. Who am I to say, really? But he doesn't seem like somebody they should necessarily move on to. I know we've, like, texted about this type of thing, but like, it's a little different now. Like, the sky is not falling until it is. Like, if they lose again, we'll be back on the Armageddon. But
yes,
right now, things are okay. There's a little bit of clarity that he was dealing with a serious thing in his forearm on his shooting hand. So it makes
he
sense.
Still
he
still is, yeah.
Terrible. And Weiss was on the radio talking about it on Touch and Rich, and he was like, yeah, like, this is the type of thing, like, sometimes they just rest guys. Like, well, just don't play him.
Yeah,
let
so
him rest.
Do that. So just rest him then. What are we doing here? Agreed. Agreed.
I'm fine with it. Don't play him. And if you have to run seven deep, you run seven deep. If you don't trust Pritchard or Hauser, if you want to put him out there and you want to feel it out and see if they have anything for you that day, that's fine too. But you have to know with Pritchard, he's going to get picked on a defense. And Hauser, they always try and pick on him. He's not easily picked on as much as Pritchard is because he's not undersized. But both of those guys are a bit of a liability on the defensive end.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Injuries playing a big part in the series. I mean, you could see how different the Heat had to play with no Gabe Vincent on the court. Like they had outside, if Jimmy wasn't hitting his middies and Bam couldn't get to work in the post, they got like no offense, right? Like Duncan Robinson played pretty well. Caleb Martin played pretty well, but like they were struggling for shot creation on the court, and that's where they need Gabe Vincent. And so the injuries, I think, are just a big storyline this series. I'm not saying it's going to sway it like either way. Like, it's not going to be like a Chris Middleton thing last year. Maybe some Heat fans, like, if the Celtics do make this ridiculous comeback, they'll be like, Tyler Hero was there. Yeah, but we shall see moving on.
Well, he was there. He just looks real dumb on the bench.
Yeah, so I saw a tweet. I think it was Pete Rogers tweeted, Tyler Hero looks like he's about to come paint my house with his, like, all white outfit.
He's on the punch in the face rankings, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what's crazy? Sam, who played the most minutes for the Heat tonight?
It Highsmith?
It was Haywood Highsmith.
Who we
That's
crystal
so crazy
balled
to
on
me.
The pregame show?
We did. Like, he had a good game, too. He had a little run there for the Heat late in the game. 15 points, 6 of 9 from the field, 3 of 4 from deep. How do you go from getting 0 minutes effectively and then playing them 36? Like, that's crazy. Like,
because
that.
You go out there. Because there's an injury and then you play well. So they just like, oh shit, we should keep this guy in.
There you go. There you go. I want to talk about the Celtics defense a little bit too.
Not completely done with him yet. Hold on.
Who, Haywood Highsmith? You got more in Highsmith?
Yeah. I'm just like curious about a few things. Okay, so
yeah,
tonight, Haywood Highsmith plays
36 minutes.
Go ahead, Sam. You got it. 36 minutes.
Yep.
Where is he? My God. Okay, he's 6 of 9 from the field for 15 points, 3 of 4 from deep. Also, under talked about aspect of Highsmith is he defends Tatum pretty well, and I think he did a pretty good job in the regular season too, so look out for that. But Highsmith, 3 of 4 from 3. Regular season, 33.9% from 3. You bet. I mean, the Gabe Vincent stuff is just mind-boggling.
He's been great.
In this series, he's just been otherworldly, and it's not fair.
I do wonder if the injury will bring him back down to earth.
I would appreciate that.
He comes off the injury and struggles a little bit. We'll see. I think maybe it could happen. But
I mean, Caleb Martin was 5 of 12, and it still felt like he made everything.
Yeah. Yeah. He did not have a great game, but it felt like he did.
They didn't get Jimmy a lot of shots today. Today was a weird Jimmy game.
10 looks for Jimmy. This is what I actually wanted to talk about next.
50%.
Anyway, so we're going there.
Turned it over twice. He still kind of got his impactful stats. 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a couple of steals. Got to the line, but
I think you credit Austin's defense. They played really good defense the whole game on everybody
they
in
did.
General.
I don't think Jimmy got anything easy. He wasn't getting to the basket. He wasn't even able to get that little like move towards the paint where he gets right in front of the rim. Instead of having to work from the baseline, we didn't see much of that today. They really did a good job of just giving him the block, and that's it. And I guess if you're Missoula, you're like, I guess this guy can kill us out of the low post if he wants to. It's better that than him coming off pick and roll and shooting threes if he's making the three, which he was 0 of 2 today. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not, at least today, the guy that killed Milwaukee. It's not.
Yeah.
And I've seen Heat fans say this because I'm in their Reddit because I have done Heat work. But they were like, we need Milwaukee Jimmy to show up. Like, I don't know why he's regressed or whatever. who knows? Maybe he's getting tired because he's had to do so much work. I mean, they didn't play him or Bam in the fourth quarter. So there's little eyeballs to you with the Heat.
Yeah.
Are those guys going to be a little bit fresher in game six? Maybe. I think you're going to get a pretty good punch from Miami in game six. That is a lot of people calling it their game seven, which it's definitely not, because the Celtics have been the greatest hosts in the NBA to all their guests this year. But it is definitely a big game. It's your last time in front of that home crowd in this series, regardless if you win or lose. I'm sure if you're Miami, you would like to close out in front of your home fans to celebrate, mm-hmm. have the Eastern Conference trophy, have Caleb Martin get his Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
That's, you're saying that as a joke, but he genuinely would get it.
No, I'm not joking. The joke is that it's absolutely ridiculous. And if someone told you that before the series, you'd put your head in a microwave. But we've watched it happen, and this guy has been good for whatever reason. He's had solid numbers all playoffs, but his points per game in this series is up 8 points.
Yeah. I like, that's crazy. I do want to stick with the Celtics defense for a second, though, because, like, as much as part of it is Jimmy's not being aggressive, they're just, like, sticking to him like glue. Like, they're good. Not moving from him.
Good.
Derek White's improved his defense on him. Robert Williams blocked him at the three-point line.
Yeah, Al Derek Horford's White's been good when he's getting on today. Him.
Yes.
He was not great giving Derek in White on any game. Fakes. He was – I bet you next game, maybe it throws Jimmy off his rhythm, but he's probably going to take a lot more first-time looks. Because they're probably going to look at film and be like, look, this dude was not biting. You have to make him respect that. It felt like Jimmy was really trying to get to the line today, and they weren't giving him any opportunities to. Nobody was jumping on these guys' fakes.
No matter how many times the refs tried to give the Celtics a late call. That, like, there was a stretch in the second quarter.
Smart got a call after the ball bounced off, and they got the rebound, Miami. So, I mean, it was I didn't think it was anything outrageous today. What were the free throws? There was 10 for Miami and 19 for the Celtics. So
I don't think it was necessarily like a free throw disparity. I think it was just like there were so many late calls. I thought
Mark Davis. But, will we see the man in game six?
I think so.
I hope I get to post the video of Scott Foster, the highlight mixtape. Can you break down this Eric Lewis thing for me, please?
Oh, yes. So,
because I'm gonna pull it up on my Twitter, but I'm not gonna put it on the big screen because my lighting will go out.
So effectively, Jack, if
you guys did not see this, Jack sent me today. Apparently, someone has found a burner account for Eric Lewis, who is an NBA official. He is the official that after that Lakers game, when LeBron saw his family get slaughtered in front of him at the Garden and he had the temper tantrum, he was the ref that everybody went online and picked out, like, oh, his family was wearing Celtics jerseys. So apparently Eric Lewis has a burner account.
He did. It got deleted. The account.
Got deleted. No. Mm-hmm. And but he was just replying exclusively to tweets about Eric Lewis. And it was also like some of the stuff I'm looking at it now, like he's giving details, descriptions.
Yeah, so there's one where, like, some random fan account, like, ranked every official in the NBA, and Eric Lewis was 69th. Nice. And the burner goes, so you watched every referee, laughing emojis. There's another one where it's like, why is everyone going crazy about Chris Paul going 0-11 when LeBron is 0-82 when Eric Lewis refs him? And somebody goes, like, just like they're not talking about the Smurfs taking over London. That shit ain't true. Stop spreading lies. Get the F out of here. Lakers being swept because no Eric Lewis. Don't think he was ever the problem. Shrug emoji. I think it's hilarious. Eric Lewis got exposed as a Celtics fan. Now he's getting zero assignments. Yeah, he worked game one in Denver. Like, okay, you keep up with Eric Lewis's schedule. How can you be the GOAT when you're 0-82 while ref by Eric Lewis? How is Eric Lewis not in the GOAT convo? You believe anything, bro. That's not a real stat. Another one, Jamal Murray talking to an official, Scott Foster getting a whistle, blah blah blah, like an extra one. Could he possibly have a second whistle in his pocket? Then Dennis throws him the original question mark. Look at the free throw disparity; it's all in black and white. I can't argue with that. I would have to look at the fouls, all based on jump. Like,
yeah, like he's just going into these replies are very calculated. Like, now that this has been exposed, it's like, oh my god, how did no one catch on to this until now?
And the account. Was it deleted or no? Wait.
Oh, it's still there.
Oh. The account is still there. The account replied to this thread with Pablo. This is Mark Lewis, Wright family older brother.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry that I put E in this situation, but this ain't Watergate. You're right. The account will be coming down. Twitter should not be this vindictive. Sorry to inconvenience you.
Well, there it goes.
Still very funny. I respect it, but like, if you're going to defend your brother, at least just put your name in it. Like, make it you. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't create a burner because that'll make you. I don't know. Very funny. But yeah. very funny, Eric Lewis memes. Last thing I want to talk about, because sorry for a shorter show, but we are both exhausted. It's 2:39 a.m.
No, I'm feeling good. I can't believe it's going to be almost 3 a.m. I haven't been up to this hour since like getting up to go to work. Like this is usually the beginning of my day.
Yes. Yes. The crowd at TD Garden was the loudest I may have ever heard it. Ever. Not this postseason, not this season. Like, the loudest crowd I've heard at TD Garden. I turned to Cam, who I was sitting next to, and I go, I joked, I said, this still doesn't hold a candle to Taylor Swift. But it was very, that's not a knock on TD Garden. It's just Taylor Swift was obscene. But shout out the Celtics fans in attendance from the opening tip for when Marcus Smart dove on the ball, Jason Tatum's crazy dunk. Jimmy Butler's missed free throws were, like, electrifying. Like, anything that went well for the Celtics or didn't go right for the Heat was just deafening screams. And it was an extremely cool environment to be in.
Yeah, this is the crowd everyone talks about being a great home court advantage. Now, of course, again, the Celtics have been great hosts, whatever. How many times can I say the joke?
Tatum talked about that, actually. Did you see Tatum's quote on that?
What, about the fans? He was like, we're happy we gave him something to cheer about. Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said.
I was going to get to that.
Oh, sorry.
We'll not him, but like, whatever. You know, it's true. What he said is true. You can read it.
He said, I'm glad we gave him something to cheer about today. We got the best fans in the league. And up until today, we haven't given them much to cheer about at home this series. So I'm glad our performance matched the energy they were giving us.
They truly have not given the fans anything to cheer about, except for Game 7. Game 7 was pretty cool. But in this series, they've given them every reason not to trust them and to be restless. Of course they're not going to be engaged. They came out today and they punched them in the mouth. Of course the fans are in it. It was awesome. The first play of the game, Marcus dives on the floor. That's like the thing. Everybody's excited about that. Of course they're in it. Awesome. Great.
Yeah.
Keep doing it. Keep winning games. The ball was popping around. Like, everything about the way they started this game was perfect.
Mm-hmm. I will also say, like, even before the game started, like, before tip-off, as tip-off was happening, like, you could tell the crowd was, like, they were ready for the Celtics to give them something to scream about. Like, before the game started, it was like, oh, this place is rocking. It's crazy that only Boston could believe the way they believe after being down 3-0 and winning one game, right? Like, the Celtics realized, like, there was a dominant win in game 4 in Miami, right? But it was one game. But it feels like that one game completely changed the tune of the city, of the fans, of everything. And game 5 only added to that. Like, I know you don't like it, and I know we joke about it. Like, the 0-4 Red Sox, blah, blah, blah. Like, I know you're not a huge fan, but realistically, I think that's a big reason why Boston fans are so willing to, like, you know what, we can do this. We could, like, one of the quotes floating around Twitter is like, you can't make history unless there's history to make. And obviously you'd rather them just sweep them, but like, the Celtics have a chance to make history, and it feels like all of the momentum is in their favor, and that reflected in TD Garden the crowd at TD Garden in game 5. It was like I said, I was there as media. And I was up there, and I was sitting next to Cam, Cam Tabatabayev, Celtics Lab, and Celtics Wire. And every time the Celtics did something cool, I just turned to him. I was like, holy shit, like, this place is rocking. When Paul Pierce got up the first time they showed him, just ballistic. It was, like I said, the best crowd at a Celtics game I've ever seen.
They probably felt like it could be their last. of this season. You know, like they wanted to get it all in. They wanted to give it their best go. Probably like the team. They were ready to go from the jump. I was pumped in my living room. I do this weird thing when I watch games at home. I'm getting more excited that the crowd's getting excited about than the actual players. I'm like saying to my dad, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to go nuts. Like, oh my God, they're going crazy. Like, this is insane. You're right. Like, this is a crowd on another level. This is a good highlight package for you to watch. If you're just going back to watch like a 10-minute clip.
Agree.
Game highlights and to get yourself pumped up for the day. This is a good one. I like, big fan of the game 2 against Brooklyn. Big fan of the game 7 against Philly. And now this one. These are good ones. And it's great because we as fans have not gotten to enjoy too many moments of them playing at home over the last couple seasons. Well, it's just been terrible.
Do you know what it is, I feel like? We talked about earlier this year, and I think Keith Smith talked about it first. It was like, it's hard to root for a team so good because it's either relief that they won or disappointment that they lost. And now it feels like, since there's nothing left for them to lose, right? Or not, that's not what I meant, but like their backs are completely against the wall. It feels like they're the underdogs again, almost. You're like,
they've lowered everyone's expectations.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like
they might over deliver.
It's like when your mom, you know, I think you told the story once. It's like your mom's like,
oh, the report card thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a C student and you get C's, it's whatever. But if you're an A student and you get C's, it's not acceptable. And it's true.
And right now, the Celtics,
they're an A team. They're getting C's and everyone's like, what the hell? But now they convince everybody they're a C team and they're getting like B's and they're on there, like they're working their way back up, like B plus next game, maybe A minus. And then they'd get an A. And we're like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God. People are invested again, and that's not what it should
I will
take,
say,
but
the reason why I think these people are so invested is one, they truly believe. Why do they truly believe? If you are like paying attention to how these games are being lost, aside from game 3 where they just got absolutely like destroyed,
murdered,
like, all right, Gabe Vincent and Caleb Martin are the ones carrying Miami. Is that sustainable? Gabe Vincent, who shot 36-33 splits coming into the series. At least Martin was efficient all playoffs, but his points still jumped up big time.
Yeah.
Like this isn't, or at least as, especially like the casual fans, this does not feel like a sustainable way for the Celtics to lose games.
This is true.
And especially when you get the feeling like they're not trying, or it looks like they're not trying, or they're doing dumb things and they're really the ones shooting themselves in the foot. And then you see them put it together in games 4 and games 5. You're like, oh my God, these guys are for real. Like, I'm back on the Kool-Aid really bad. And I wish I wasn't. But like, I'm like, oh my God, these guys are coming out and dominating games. They're putting in an effort defensively. Miami looks lost on the offensive end. They have no idea what to do with this.
Yeah.
Like, this is how they should have just played from the jump. Don't screw around. Don't play with your meat, as Doc Rivers said. And maybe just take care of the series, make it easy. Nope. We all have to sit here and panic now. Game 6 is Saturday. It'll be in Miami. And we'll see how it goes.
Andrew Callahan, Boston Herald, NBC Sports Boston, Patriots reporter, just tweeted this. The Celtics have been turning in their homework at the last minute all playoffs and hit their procrastinating peak right before the finals, and I've never identified with a team more in my life.
Yeah.
It really does feel like that's what's happening, but the fans are into it. The city's backing them. Everyone's coming out. You didn't see any Red Sox players at game 5.
I'm very surprised.
I have to imagine they might be saving it if it goes game 7.
Maybe they trot them all out there.
I don't know if you want to predict, but do you think the Celtics win game 6? Or do you not want to predict? Are we just going to vibe?
See, I don't know what to think, though. Like, exactly. That's the problem. It's not that I don't want to predict. It's just like,
they're impossible.
What team
to
you're going to get. They just won 2 games. Everybody's like, oh my God, these guys are super cool again. I think it feels like they're due for a letdown. I feel like if they are going to lose, it's going to be this game.
You said that against Philly too. You said this feels like the year Philly wins, and then they just were like, nope, we're gonna come through.
Yeah, I was wrong about that. I going into it, I just felt like they were gonna lose in dramatic.
It looked like they were gonna,
and it was like, yeah, like they've beat up on Philly for too long. It feels like they're due to lose, and they just they fought through, they got through it, won game six, even though it wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
I sure would love just two more games of this, though. If they just if they just controlled two more games, that'd be heaven.
It's the perfect time for your least favorite phrase, Sam. Best two words in sports, baby.
Game seven be fantastic. When you're down 3-0 and you're like, game seven? Okay. Yeah. I'll do game seven. I'll take what I can get. Right. Do you have a rat list?
Do I have a rat list? Yeah, I tweeted about it when I was heading into the game. Someone had red headlights. Just why?
I'm
just,
not in like, on the. I hate when I see headlights and I think they're cops, like the super bright LED lights.
Yeah.
I live near a beach and like people love to drive their cars near the beach. And so I see like a lot of shit. I see a lot of different colored lights. And do you ever see that? And you're like, wow, that guy's super cool. I wish I was that guy. No, nobody says that.
I say it sarcastically.
You put it on the rat list. That's what you do.
I have a different phrase for it. I always go, that guy must have a giant.
I don't like that. I don't know. It feels like, I don't know.
A giant truck with giant wheels, I immediately think tiny.
Yeah, of course.
You're compensating.
I think that's like overused.
Nah, no, I go with it. I don't care.
I don't think it's think it's original enough.
Yeah, that's what I go with.
I think envying somebody is funnier than that. I don't know why.
Ratless though, red headlights. Red headlights is tragic. You can't be doing that. Like just why? Right? Like just use normal headlights, bozo. Like I just think you're an idiot. I feel like there was something else I had too. I'm trying to think of what I did today. I got a haircut and I drove. I think there was something else with like a car that I wanted to put on the rat list, but I can't remember what it was. I think it's just not stopping at a stop sign and going right through it. Oh, yes. Okay. I don't. You hate when I go to film, but I have to go to film for this.
Did you film it?
No, but it's impossible to explain unless I show you the situation that I was in. Does that make sense?
Okay. All right, you pull this up, I'll go.
Yes, give me a rat list while I pull this.
Okay, one, rat list is the internet. If you're watching this, you probably saw a bunch of like chops. It's almost 3 in the morning now, and I've had my mic dick me around. I've had my internet dick me around, and I don't have the patience for it. There's nobody else awake in this house but me. There's no reason why I shouldn't get full attention by the Wi-Fi. I'm really not asking that much for it to work. Okay, second rat list.
Yes.
How did I forget it?
Oh no!
Oh man!
Did we forget the rat list? Are we in?
Second rat list. Whoever gave Shaq his summons. If you don't know, Shaq was part of this big crypto lawsuit, FTX, and he'd been dodging the summons, letting him know that he's being sued for a good amount of time. And they got his ass on, what's today, Thursday, Tuesday night.
Game four, yeah.
Yeah. Ironically enough, in the arena that used to be named after FTX.
Very funny. All right, I have the film.
Okay.
I think you're going to find this entertaining. It's not basketball film. So this is where I go to get on the highway.
Okay.
Excuse me. Watch on YouTube if you're listening on podcast. So you drive here. You're going. This is south. I need to go north. So I have to go past this.
Okay.
Right. I go past this.
Oh, the day changed.
Here you go. Yeah, we're back though.
We're driving. There's a small median in the middle of the road.
Yep. And so I'm in the right lane because, as you can see in the green sign up here, my exit is right after these people right here are coming to turn off, right?
Okay.
And I know you're a big yield sign guy, correct?
Big fan of the yield sign. Mm-hmm. I think it's very effective.
Now, as you can see here, Sam. Again, check the tape. Watch on YouTube. What do we see here, Sam? What is this right here?
Is that a yield?
That would be a yield sign because the people coming off the highway are supposed to yield to us because we need to take this exit up here. You can see the sign for the exit. Exit's right here. So I'm driving along. I'm like, all right, I'll stay in this lane. And I see a car on the right-hand side. I'm like, pulling in here. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to speed up. I'll get past it, so they're good to go.
It's a long drive.
They can slow down a little bit. You see my exit right here, right?
Okay.
My exit right there. Right back here, we see they're on ramp. I'm driving up here. This dude does not yield. Doesn't even come close to yielding. Speeds all the way through this. Same speed he was going on the highway. And I have to speed past him and almost get rear-ended because he decided not to slow down at all. No one's behind me, by the way. He could have just waited like 2 seconds.
Nobody behind you makes it worse.
Rat. Absolute
also,
rat.
Kind of ratless for whoever designed it, though. That's kind of poor design. Ideally, there is a lane for him to get on and get speed and so he doesn't have to stop. And then there's a merge.
It's impossible, though, because I have to stay in this lane.
No, I'm not saying you're at fault. I'm saying whoever designed the
yeah, but how could you design it any other way?
Make it so that they have some sort of place to get up to speed on the highway. Like every other place has that pretty
much.
This
isn't like a highway. This is like an intermediate middle road. It's not, this isn't like 495 or anything. This is like look here. It just goes over here into the mall and then back to a normal street. So it's not like a real highway. So ratless for that guy for not yielding at all, almost ramming in the back of my car. And that ends this week's film session. but that's all I got today. Anything else you want to say?
No, I'm exhausted.
Are we done? We're both tired. Thank you very much for listening. It is 3 a.m. on the dot now as I do this outro. Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate all the support on the pods and the pregame shows. Very glad that we get to keep doing them for now.
Yeah,
I was very sad.
Saturday.
Yes. We'll see you before the game. Thank you all for tuning in. Subscribe to How About Them Celtics. Check out our socials, blah, blah, blah. Mainly my always plug, 5-star, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. Follow the shows there. That would help us out. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Sam.
All right. Going to speed through it today. Don't want the internet to get tuckered out there. Thank you very much for listening or watching. If you're watching, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the little notification bell so you get all of our 5 a.m. uploads. You'll get our pregame streams and any other content we're putting out. You'll get a notification. You won't miss it. Also, leave a like. Leave some comments. Jack loves the comments. I love the comments. I'll go on my account and respond. Jack responds on the pod account. Plus, if you don't want to see us, don't know why, you can go on the streaming services, Spotify, Apple. Follow us, leave a nice review, nice comments, 5 stars, all of that. Social media, we're working. We didn't do it today. We're working on getting the Twitter up to speed, @ How About Them C's, Instagram, TikTok as well for that, @. And Facebook is just the name of the podcast. You can get our pregame streams there as well as Twitter. They are on Twitter. They're on Jack's Twitter, @ Jack Simone NBA, and my Twitter, @ Sam LaFrance NBA. That's it for us. Bye. Check.